Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Believe is brought to you by Cryptid Coffee Co. Use promo code BELIEVE on checkout for 10% off their Angry Yowie coffee blend. Head over to cryptid.com.au to check them out.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight I'm joined by Emma, and Emma's had quite a few unusual encounters throughout her life. Emma, welcome to the show.
Hi, Cade. Thanks for having me.
It is so great to have you on. We've been chatting for what I feel like is ages before we hit record, and you're just like one of the most likable people I've ever spoken to, Emma, but you have had quite a few unusual encounters in your life, so and they're kind of varied, mm-hmm. So I really like that. So, Emma, where did your first encounter happen? What was it? And kind of just walk us through it.
Yeah, sure. The first encounter I had, well, at the time I didn't know what I was seeing, but I was in grade 7, so this was 2001. And I was on a school camp, so it wasn't until I actually had forgotten about this encounter until listening to a podcast a little while ago about the school camp encounter at Springbrook, and it triggered, I can't remember the details of who saw, like who had that Yowie encounter, but I'm sure you know the one I'm talking about, where all the students and the teacher saw the Yowie in Springbrook. And
I believe that was a Queensland centre.
Yeah, it was published and then it was discredited and all that kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it triggered this memory for me and I was like, oh, my goodness, that was a Yowie that I saw on that camp. But what happened was, so, yeah, it was a grade 6 and grade 7 combined school camp at a place called Fix Crossing near Mergen in Queensland, like rural west Queensland. And it was day 2 of the camp because I remember that evening at dinner we were talking about a few of us students wanted to go for a sunrise canoe. There was a river on the camping grounds and, yeah, a few of us wanted to go canoeing up the river for the sunrise, and one of the teachers agreed to wake up early and take the students that wanted to do this down to the river. So I myself and my two best friends, Claire and Mia, we were all very like athletic, sporty girls and quite competitive. And I remember we wanted to be the first one down there because we wanted to get the biggest canoe because all three of us wanted to go together. And we wanted to be out on the water before everybody else. So, yeah, we got down there. We got the big canoe, the three-person one, and jumped in, and we were gone. So we were already cruising up the river as the sun was starting to come up. And we were looking at the sun as it was rising, doing a bit of sun gazing. And I remember looking back at the bank as well where everybody else was getting in their canoes. And yeah, people were still kind of mucking around on the riverbank, and nobody else was in the water yet. And we were really going. I can't exactly pinpoint the distance that we were from, you know, everybody else back at the bank, but I think we were quite a way up the river. And on the right side of the river, further up from us, was a concrete tank. And I'm not very good with measurements. I've never been good at maths. I couldn't really tell you how high it was, maybe 4 meters, 5 meters. And it was quite a ways ahead of us up the river. And I'm looking at the sun coming up. I notice the tank and I look at the tank, and standing on top of the tank was this giant black mass, a figure, very, very big black figure. And I should also mention that I went to a Christian school and I grew up in a Christian home. And I looked at this thing on the tank and I was just like, am I seeing like weird black spots in my eyes? Because I've been looking at the sun and maybe I'm seeing like black spots. And I looked away and I looked back again, and whatever it was had then crouched down on top of the tank. And I just, yeah, I didn't know what to make of it. I don't remember if it disappeared, like if I was looking at it and it disappeared, or if I looked away and then it was gone. But then it was gone. And I didn't say anything for a moment, a couple of minutes probably. And then Mia, who was in the canoe with me, said, "Did either of you see that big black thing on top of the tank?" And I was like, "Yes, I did. I saw it as well." And we all became quite emotional and quite freaked out. I may have cried for years, kind of after, when I would tell this story, I would get very emotional and I would cry about it. And I was just like, why am I crying about this? Like, but I can tell it now and not cry. But yeah, so we turned around. I don't know if we went much further, but we did turn around. And we went back to the bank where the teachers were, and we spoke about it. We spoke about our experience, and it spread through the camp like wildfire. And we got in trouble. Because all the students started to get really freaked out, and a few of the boys thought it was a great idea to kind of take our experience, like what had happened, and turn it into like a camp ghost story. But the way we could make sense of it was we thought we saw a demon. So, because we didn't know what yowies were, hadn't even heard of that before. And growing up in a Christian home and going to a Christian school, you know, if you see something big, black, eerie, like, we got a feeling, I got a feeling of, like, oof, this is not, it didn't feel good. Yeah, and it, we just thought it was a demon. So I remember that Mia and I decided that we would draw a picture of what we saw separately. So we went to separate cabins and we both drew a picture of what we saw, and they were the same. And yeah, that was the Yowie. Well, what I believe is a Yowie. Because, yeah, now that I've gotten older and I've learned about Yowies and their behaviours, and I just know that area out near Gomeri, Kingaroy, Mergan is very, you know, there is lots of Yowie activity in that area. It makes complete sense. And, you know, it wasn't quite daylight. It was, the sun was still coming up. So, you know, he or she was probably out doing its nightly thing and heard a heap of kids and was probably up on the tank going, what is going on over there? And then saw us and, yeah, probably was like, oh, goodness, they've seen me. So ducked down and, yeah, it just all, yeah, made complete sense to me. I was like, wow, that's, yeah, it was classic Yowie behaviour. So, yeah.
What an intense encounter. And for it to have such an emotional impact on you really tells me that, you know, you knew deep down that this isn't something that is just a normal type of encounter.
No, no, far from normal. Like, you just don't see giant black figures, yeah, standing on top of very, like, quite tall water tanks in the middle of the bush, yeah, in the early hours of the morning. It was, yeah, it was so bizarre. And I'm just really grateful that Mia also saw it and that she brought it up, because otherwise I probably would have just kept it to myself and, yeah, never have said anything.
Yeah, and that's so fantastic about having a shared encounter is that it kind of gives you that credence of, yeah, I actually saw what I saw, because, like you said, it is just so easy for you to come up with an excuse of what you may have seen. Like, for you, it was, you know, I saw a sunspot in my eye. So for all I know, that's what that could have been. But you had someone else there to, you know, say, no, what you saw, I saw it too. And I think that really does hit home for a lot of people. How big do you think this creature was?
Well over 6 foot. It was big. Yeah, it was very, very big and tall. And it was very broad, and, like, that's what it just looked like, a giant black mass. It was very difficult to kind of make out any real features. And I think that has to do with, like, the low light of the morning. It was quite a distance away from us. It was quite high up, and yeah, the background was all bush. It was all quite dense bush along the side of the river.
I find it interesting that you felt so uneasy from the get-go. Did your friend feel the same?
Mia was very intuitive as well. Her and I used to see fairies together. So her and I were very much on the same kind of level when it came to having these kind of experiences. But I never really spoke to Mia about how she felt during the moment she saw it. But I know afterwards, when we, especially when we drew those pictures and then came together and showed each other, we were freaked out. We were really freaked out. And, yeah, and then when the boys kind of took the story and ran with it and spooked everybody at camp, it went up another level again, because for Mia and I, Claire was in the canoe as well, but Claire didn't see anything. But for Mia and I, it, you know, it was something very real that had happened to us. So we were already terrified. And then for the boys to start playing pranks. It was like, oh God.
Yeah, kids are really so cruel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
something interesting, I guess, about your encounter and about your, you know, your upbringing is that you said that you had a heavily Christian influence upbringing. And mm-hmm. that would have been a really terrifying thought to think that you saw a demon, because
mm-hmm.
that's like the top level of, you know, scariness for the whole kind of Christian world, essentially. And that would have been quite a harrowing moment in your life there, because that's something that is just the epitome of evil, essentially. At such a young age, like, were you scared you were going to see it again or anything like that?
Yeah, it was really terrifying, and it felt really shit to not be believed. Like, we told the adults, and we got in trouble more so than anything else, because by sharing what we saw, it caused a real ruckus at the camp. Did I ever think I was going to see it again? Well, not necessarily, because I didn't really know what it was that I had seen, but I suppose it just made all those kind of stories in the Bible that I'd heard very real. So it, for a long time I was very terrified of the thought of, you know, of going to hell, because in my experience I had seen what I believed was a creature from that world. But yes, as I got older and understood religion in a different way, I'm no longer afraid of that. And yeah, as I learned about yowies and dogmen and all of these other creatures that I believe do exist alongside us, in educating myself, I no longer have that fear. So, yeah.
When you learned about what the Yowie was this a real aha moment for you?
Not straight away, because I didn't put two and two together until that podcast triggered that memory, triggered that story for me, and I then realized what it was that I had seen. Like, I hadn't forgotten the story, but I then in that moment was like, that wasn't an evil spirit from the underworld. That was, I can like say 99% sure that that was a yaoi, because that's what makes most sense. It makes so much more sense that that was a yaoi, not a demon.
Yeah, absolutely. And, and that would have been like a bit of a weight off your shoulders too, I would have felt.
Oh yes, it was a weight off my shoulders, and it was also a real excitement, like going, oh yes, like I know what that was, and that's so cool that, you know, I have that confirmation of my own experience.
No, I think it's great. I think that encounter, like it is so terrifying. You had it so young, and you kind of have this like massive revelation later on in life that, you know, it's not I guess it depends on, you know, your point of view. You know, a lot of people think yaois are terrifying, but I don't know. I think a demon would be a little bit more terrifying over a yaoi if I had to make a choice.
Yeah, if I had to make a choice.
Yeah, for sure. So Emma, your crazy stories don't stop at this yaoi encounter, because there's something else that happened to you, I guess a little bit more out of this world, so to say. Are you able to tell us what happened in Boona?
And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So this was actually, I was living in Brisbane, Brisbane City at the time with my then partner. And he grew up, he was born in Boona, and he grew up in a place called Mount French. And Mount French is a part of the mountain range out there, and he's got his own Yowie story from living out there. But so it was the night of there was a blood moon lunar eclipse that was visible from Brisbane, Australia in 2018. And I was so excited to see this lunar eclipse, and the night came and there was thick cloud cover like all over the city. You couldn't see the sky, and I was really devastated. And so my partner at the time, because he had grown up in Boona, and his father was a trawler man and a truckie, and was, you know, had lots of unusual paranormal experiences being out on the ocean and also driving trucks across Australia. He was obsessed with looking up at the sky. So so when Dan was a kid, him and his dad would go to this spot, this lookout in the bush in Boona. There was a clearing on top of a hill, and you just had this incredible view out over the sky. And so he says to me, he's like, "Well, let's just get in the car, and I know a spot. We'll drive out to Boona, and hopefully it's far enough away from the cloud cover and we might be able to see this lunar eclipse." So we get in the car, and it's like, so from Brisbane City, Boona's probably an hour and a half trip west out past Ipswich. So we're driving out and the sky is starting to clear and there's just a bit of scattered cloud cover, and we're getting really excited to see this blood moon lunar eclipse. And we turn off the bitumen onto a dirt road, and we're in my little Getz, so we're like winding up this dirt road through the bush, going past a few farms. There was a few farms like kind of lower down the hill, like the bottom of the hill. But as you got further up the hill, the bush got more dense and there was kind of less farm. I couldn't see any houses because it was nighttime. You could see where the houses were because their lights were on, but there was no houses at the top of the hill. It was just all bush. And then you came to this spot on the side, on the left-hand side, and there's the clearing. And we pulled the car up and grabbed the picnic blanket out of the car and went and put the picnic blanket, like, at the front of the car, so, like, just in front of the bonnet. And we sat down and kind of got comfy, blankets, pillows, laid down, looking up at the sky. And, we had a good view of the moon. The eclipse hadn't started. And we had probably been there for 5 minutes, it felt. And suddenly this giant beam of light just flicked on out of the middle of nowhere, shone directly down on us. Neither of us said a word. We just moved so quickly, so fluidly, just like got up, grabbed the blanket, jumped in the car and took off down the hill. And my ex is a drift car driver, So he was just drifting my little car down this dirt road, like getting us out of there so quickly. And, yeah, it wasn't until we kind of like got far enough away that we were just like, what was that? Like, what the hell was that massive light that just, yeah, that just shone down out of the sky onto us? So, yeah.
That's crazy.
We have no idea. Yeah.
That is crazy. That is so crazy. What do you think it was?
Yeah. Well, we don't know. Like, we have spoken about it not too long ago. Again, we touched base. We're still really good friends. And he said to me, he's like, oh, part of me wants to go back there and see if I can find, like, maybe there was a spotlight, like a sensor light up in the trees. But I don't think he ever went and checked. We have no idea. We didn't hear anything. There was no sound. So if there was a ship up above us, we didn't hear anything. We didn't see any other lights. And we were looking at the sky. Like, we were looking up at the sky for this full moon eclipse. And, yeah, and then all of a sudden it's like we were blinded. Like, this blinding light just shone straight on us.
So it's not just like a torchlight. Like, this is a light that's hurting your eyes to look at.
Yes, big beam of light from high up. So either high up in a tree or from the sky. It just, yeah, massive beam of light.
Oh, I don't know what to make of that, Emma. That's really spooky.
It was so spooky. Like, we just, yeah, but Dan was also, you know, he was not, I remember him being very, very calm because he grew up out there and his dad had had so many encounters and they had had their own gnarly yowie encounter living out there as well. So Dan just, like, he was like, well, this area, it's not unusual for this kind of phenomena to happen in this area. So, yeah, we've never really been able to make sense of it. We don't have any missing time. We have the same kind of recollection of what happened, how it happened. And, yeah, we actually drove into town and then went and found another spot and sat there and watched the eclipse. So, yeah.
That's insane. I don't know how you go on and just do a normal night after that. That's crazy stuff there, Emma. I really don't know what to make of that because, you know, if it was a helicopter, you'd hear it from miles away, especially out in the country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with no cloud cover or anything like that, it's just an open, like, it's just an open plane. Like, you'd see any type of, I guess, light or something like that in the sky from miles away. And the really unsettling part of that is, like, you were out there purposely looking in the sky and this just happens. Like, you don't know where it comes from.
Yeah, purposely looking in the sky. It was a blood moon lunar eclipse. So it was a special night, like, astrologically speaking, it was a really special night. And yeah, there was a little bit of cloud cover, but not that much out there. I remember it being quite partial. But even still, if something was kind of coming through, you would have thought that we would have seen it. The other thing too is if it was, say, if someone had put a sensor light up in a tree, you know, the clearing on top of the hill was quite large and we could have been parked up on any part of the clearing, but the light, it was literally like, you know, like a spotlight shining down on a singer on a concert stage. It just was like boom, straight down on us. And yeah, it was like someone had turned on a heap of spotties on the front of their four-wheel drive. They were very, very bright lights. I remember, yeah, looking down at the ground, not looking up at the light because it was that bright, looking down at the ground, picking up the picnic blanket and just getting in the car and getting out of there as fast as we could.
Did you ever see like a point of where this light was coming from?
Not a clear point. It was just a point of, yeah, quite high above us. I couldn't tell you if it was coming from the tree line or if it was coming from further up in the sky.
It's creepy, isn't it?
Because
it's like that. Whatever this was, it obviously had some form of intelligence attached to it, and it singled you out. Like that's a really, really scary part of that whole encounter.
Yeah, absolutely. It singled us out, and you know, there was nobody else up and around that area. Boona is a very, very quiet, sleepy place. It was pretty unnerving.
Yeah. Oh, unnerving is probably the polite way to put it, I would say. That's really, really quite freaky. And my mind would have just been total sensory overload after an encounter like that, because that's just so out of the normal. And then you're still looking up in the night sky. Any kind of flicker or anything like that, I just would have been on massive high alert after that.
Yeah, we didn't see anything else. I just wanted to see that eclipse, and we got to see that, which was great. But yeah, we didn't see anything else unusual that night.
Well, I'm glad you got to see the eclipse. You know, like you went out there for a reason, and you know, you still got to see it. So I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
So Emma, this last encounter, I love when stuff like this happens. So I really like it when encounters on the show, other people have, you know, basically the same encounter in the same place. And I kid you not, you're probably going to be about the third person who's come on the show to say they've had an encounter in a very similar location to this. So the episode that we're going to refer to is from season 14, episode 4. And it's on the Sunshine Coast, where Ryan had a very unusual encounter with some lights. So I'm going to hand it over to you, and you let me know what happened to you in this area.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised that you've had quite a few people reach out, because when I shared this story with my community here at the Sunshine Coast, a lot of my friends were like, yes, I've also seen that. So there is definitely a lot of activity happening in the sky around this area. And if you speak to people who have lived here their whole life and who know elders in the area, they will tell you that it's to do with the mountains. So you've got Pomona, Mount Nindiri, and Mount Coolum, and there is it's like a triangle, and there's a story and an energy to these mountains, which Indigenous elders believe call in UFO activity to the area. So my first time seeing these lights or this craft in the sky, I was on a date, first date with this guy, and we went to a place called Yurumba Beach near Coolum, and we're sitting on the beach, and we were looking up in the sky. It was a very clear night. I remember there was a couple of other people that had come down onto the beach because it was really clear and quite still. And but Yurumba Beach is a very, very long beach, and it's quite dark. There's not a lot of light pollution compared to the other places you might be. And we're sitting there for quite a long time before we really noticed this in the sky. And I don't know if it was there the whole time or if it had then just shown up. But my date was the one who noticed it initially. And I hadn't brought up this topic. Usually I like to bring this topic up on first dates just to get a gauge of whether the person's worth my time or not. If they're too straighty, it's like, oh, yeah, no.
I dig it.
Yeah. He's like, is that a plane over there? Like, it was quite far out over the ocean. And I looked in the direction he was pointing, and it was flashing. So it was flashing from like a yellow star color to red and green, which is very classic plane. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a plane. And kind of ignored it and went back to our conversation. And then he looked up again and he's like, it's not getting any closer. It's not moving. It's just kind of staying there and flashing. And so I'm looking at it again now, and we're looking at it together. And then all of a sudden it shoots so quickly from stationary to the left and then shoots back to the right and then zigzags down and then zigzags back up to what looked like its original spot. And we were both just like, what the F?
Wow.
Did we actually just see it do that? And I was very excited. I got quite emotional. I started crying, like happy tears. I was like, this is amazing. He was quite freaked out. He's like, I can't believe you're excited about this. And we sat there for a good 40 minutes watching this thing.
Wow, really?
Yes, it was there for ages, and it was in this one area, and we were observing it. And it also looked like it had a very faint kind of searchlight off to the left side of it. It was so far away. It was so high in the atmosphere that, you know, the movements for us that it was doing looked very small. But if you were to be close to it, it must have been traveling at a very, very, very high speed and covering quite a large distance in the sky. And it was doing the same thing, flashing from yellow to red to green, stationary, and then shooting off to one side, shooting off to the other, going up and down. And we were kind of like, are our minds playing a trick on us? So we were sitting there at one point going, all right, it's moved left, it's moved up, it's moved down, it's moved right. And we were saying the same movements at the same time. So we're like, okay, we're not wigging out here. Like, we're definitely seeing the same thing and seeing this thing move around. And yeah, it kind of looked like maybe it was searching this specific area of sky. So that was the first time I saw it. The second time I saw it, I was alone at a really quiet little bay in Coolum called Second Bay. And I lived not far from there. So often at night I would go down for a night swim or just chill out on the beach. And I saw the same thing again at Second Bay one night. However, this time it wasn't, so this first one I saw was in the sky, like to the right and very like high up. The next one I saw was like quite, it just looked like it was just above the ocean. And it was right out in front of me, and it was doing the same thing. It was shooting from left to right very quickly across like the horizon of the ocean. And I didn't even freak out this time. I was just kind of like, oh, there's that there's that UFO again. It's still out there doing its thing. So,
I have to say, I'm going to pull a quote from this episode and it's going to be, oh, there's that UFO again.
There's that UFO again, just hanging out out
there. Wow.
But then when I heard Ryan's story, I was absolutely blown away because I was like, that sounds exactly like the thing I saw, but the fact that he saw it so close up, I was just like, yeah, wow. But it did. He said that it did then eventually move out over the ocean, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So,
am I? Yes.
It's, yeah. I wonder, you kind of like answered a question that I was going to ask you about. Like, it seems like it's searching for something.
And a good friend of mine who lives under Mount Nindiri has seen it very often around Mount Nindiri. So you do wonder, are they searching for something in this area?
Wow, that's really interesting. I wonder if there's any UFO groups down that way that might be able to shine a little bit more light on this, because it is just such an active area that I can't believe we're not getting more reports out of there.
There would have to be. Maybe I'll do some digging and I'll let you know.
I would love that. That would be amazing. But Emma, what do you think this thing was that you saw on both of these occasions? I guess, actually, let me break this question up into two parts. Do you think it was the same UFO that you're seeing?
It was behaving in the same way. So it was, you know, the lights were the same and the movements that the craft was making was the same. Very sudden movements, like shooting off to the sides, zigzagging down. And it was funny because when it would go down, it would zigzag down. It wouldn't just straight down. It would zigzag down and then shoot up again. On both occasions it was doing these movements and, yeah, flashing the same way. Was it the same craft or was it multiple? I don't know. I would say that it, oh, I really can't answer that because, I don't know. But it could have been the same one or there could be multiple of them.
Do you think these craft were moving in a way that our current, I guess, man-made aircraft could move in?
No. Yeah, no, absolutely not. Because when we the first time we saw that one, when I was on that date, we thought it was a plane. But then it moved so quickly. And, like, what plane moves from, like, left to right and zigzags down? Like, no plane. A helicopter couldn't do that either. Maybe a drone, but, like, it was so far away. It would have, for us to have seen it the way we did, it would have had to have been a massive drone.
And the fly time on this thing was over 40 minutes. That's a long time for a drone.
It was there for so long that we lost interest in it. Like, it was there for so long that we watched it for a good 40 minutes to an hour and then was like, okay, well, it's still there.
So you left and the UFO was still out there?
We left and it was still there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing. That is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
People are going to ask me, and I know people are going to be listening to this and say, like, did you get any footage of it?
No, like... I did have my phone on me and I did, like, put it up to the sky, but it doesn't pick up anything.
And at those distances, they don't. It looks like the black sky and you might see a flash on there, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was just black sky. There was no way to get that definition No, it was so far away.
I totally understand it. I just needed to ask because I know people will ask me 100 times if I didn't ask you. So thank you for clarifying. Well, Emma, my mind has been absolutely blown talking to you. You have had some of the most surreal encounters. And I tell you, you tell your encounters in such a way, like there's so much passion behind them. You're a fantastic reteller of your encounters, essentially.
Oh, thank you. I love sharing these stories. I don't know, they bring me joy. They bring me joy, and it's nice to, like, share them with people and then to have people share their stories back. And I just feel like you learn so much sharing these stories, and it really helps to break down stigma, you know, and taboo around sharing these kinds of encounters, because I have a social work degree as well, and I often hear people talk about how they feel so alone in these encounters, and that there's also not enough professional support out there for people who, you know, may not want to share on a podcast or may not want to share with family or members of their community. And, you know, if I can come on here and say, like, I would love to create a space for professional help for people, or just be there for people to chat about it. And if telling my story makes it less terrifying for someone to share theirs, then that's all that, you know, really matters at the end of the day. Is we're all human beings living this wild experience, and I think it's great to have these moments that just blow our minds.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.